This is an issue that the left started, not the right.
If you do not leave right now, you're going to be placed under arrest.
Whose house is this?
I can't overturn state laws unless a federal law is passed that prohibits states from doing these things. And with the Congress I currently have, that's not likely to happen.
Leave it the way it is.
You don't have a right to impose your lifestyle on others.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The North Carolina conflict cranks up, marriage equality becomes reality in Columbia, and Salt Lake City comes out for Harvey Milk. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending April 30th, 2016. Lesbian and gay couples can finally tie the knot in Colombia. The South American nation's constitutional court issued its final order on April 28th after paperwork delayed the implementation of its April 7th 6-3 ruling opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. They were only able to enter into civil unions before being allowed to legally march down the aisle this week. In an earlier lawsuit, the High Court ordered the nation's lawmakers to enact marriage equality legislation by June 20, 2013. They failed to meet that deadline, which automatically allowed gay and lesbian couples to get married. But they were required to have a notary or judge formally solemnize their commitment. Many judges and notaries refused. Four same-gender couples who were turned away filed the lawsuit that led to this week's finalized ruling. The High Court stated definitively that no judge or notary could legally refuse to marry a same-gender couple. The same justices lifted a ban on same-gender couples adopting children last November. Alberto Rojas Rios, the judge who wrote the marriage equality ruling, told the El Tiempo newspaper that it was in force now. He said that a civil marriage could be performed by a municipal judge, notary public, or any other public servant authorized to perform them. Colombia joins Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples in heavily Roman Catholic Latin America. Advances in a growing number of states are also hastening national marriage equality in Mexico.
A 6-3 majority in the Legislative Council of the Isle of Man approved a marriage equality bill on its third and final reading on April 26th. The Marriage and Civil Partnership Amendment Bill replaces the civil partnerships that have been available to lesbian and gay couples since 2011. They can now march down the aisle, on the aisle. The self-governing British Crown Dependency sits in the Irish Sea between England and Northern Ireland and is home to about 86,000 people and, by some accounts, a lot more sheep. Chief Minister Alan Bell came out last year and confirmed a not-so-secret relationship of more than 21 years. It's a totally logical human right and a human expectation, he said, that straight couples and gay couples should be able to enjoy life with a partner that they choose.
Lawmakers in the Faroe Islands voted 19-14 on April 29th to open civil marriage to their gay and lesbian couples. About 49,000 people call the self-governing series of volcanic islands in the Kingdom of Denmark home. They're located between Iceland and Norway in the North Atlantic Ocean. Denmark itself established marriage equality in 2012. Unlike their Danish brethren, however, the Faroe Islands law does not allow church weddings, which was the only way to get votes for the measure by members of various Christian parties.
Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull explained during an interview this week on Tasmanian radio station 7HO FM why he backed a non-binding national plebiscite on marriage equality rather than passing a marriage equality bill in Parliament. He said he was simply upholding the will of the coalition government that he inherited from former PM Tony Abbott. But he predicted, as happened in Ireland, that the public vote in Australia would be overwhelmingly supportive.
I think it'll be a perfectly civil debate. I think I will be voting yes. I'll be voting for to legalise same-sex marriage.
Good on you.
And I think that the plebiscite will be carried. I think there will be a positive vote.
So I could potentially start shopping for all the weddings that I may have coming up in the next, let's hope, 6 months. You know?
Well, you That's up to you. But I think you're unlikely to be disappointed. But it will be. But it's ultimately, the three of us will have one vote each.
Yeah.
And so the Australian people will decide.
The plebiscite is supposed to be held after the next federal election, but it's not at all clear when that will happen. Some observers say elections might not be called until as late as January 2017. But if the pro-LGBT opposition Labour Party outpolls Turnbull's Liberal National Coalition government in those elections, a simple parliamentary vote on equal marriage, with the help of the long-supportive Green Party, would almost certainly pass, thereby cancelling the planned plebiscite altogether.
Elsewhere, an Egyptian court has sentenced 11 men to from 3 to 12 years in prison just for being gay. The 11 men were each convicted of debauchery and incitement to debauchery. Private consensual adult gay sex is not explicitly illegal under Egyptian law, but gay men are prosecuted under debauchery statutes, so authorities have a tool to harass and persecute them even without specific anti-gay laws. Three of the men were jailed for 12 years, three for 9 years, one for 6 years, and four for 3 years. Dalia Abdel Hamid, director of the Gender Studies Program of the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights, told reporters that raids against the LGBTI community have become so common in Egypt that we have almost become accustomed to wait for them to arrive. A long-running crackdown on sexual minorities, especially in Cairo, has gotten worse. Police are using dating apps to lure gay men to their arrests and to raid saunas and underground bars and clubs. More than 80 people have reportedly been arrested so far this year for the crime of being gay.
The global LGBT communities and its allies are reeling over the gruesome assassinations this week of Bangladeshi journalists and activists Julaz Manan and Tonoi Mahbub by a gang of at least six Islamic fundamentalists. This report was posted on the Advocate website on April 26th.
Al-Qaeda subsidiary Ansar al-Islam has claimed responsibility for the hacking death of two LGBT rights activists in Bangladesh. One of the victims was the editor of Rupvan, the country's only LGBT magazine. A Twitter message was posted by the group claiming the attacks. The message said the two were killed because they were pioneers of practicing and promoting homosexuality in Bangladesh and were working day and night to promote homosexuality.
The 39-year-old Manan, the editor of Rupvan magazine, also worked for USAID, the U.S. government agency responsible for foreign aid. The 25-year-old Mahbub was a college student and also worked on the magazine. A third activist in Manan's Dhaka apartment reportedly survived the horrific assaults. The murders are the latest in a series of attacks against secular journalists, bloggers, and academics by radical Islamist groups in the South Asian nation. One anonymous for obvious reasons Bangladeshi blogger called Manan his country's Harvey Milk. According to the Pink News website, local police have detained two college students and claim to have found some important evidence in connection with the vicious murders. Some of the killers are believed to have posed as couriers to gain access to the building.
In U.S. news this week, Tennessee's Republican Governor Bill Haslam signed a bill allowing counselors and therapists to refuse to serve clients based on sincerely held principles. An earlier version of the bill had allowed counselors to refuse service to patients based on religious belief, but it was amended to remove any direct reference to religion. Haslam said in a statement that, "I believe it is reasonable to allow these professionals to determine if and when an individual would be better served by another counselor better suited to meet his or her needs." The American Counseling Association said the bill violates its code of ethics and, like similar measures promoting discrimination and so-called religious freedom across the country, clearly targets LGBT people. But the Family Action Council of Tennessee, which opposes LGBT rights and supported the bill, denied the allegation.
In better news for sexual minorities, a religious freedom bill died in the Missouri legislature this week. Senate Joint Resolution 39 would have made it legal for clergy and vendors to decline to participate in a wedding involving a gay or lesbian couple. Because the vote was a 6-6 tie, it lost in the House Emerging Issues Committee on April 27th. Three Republicans joined the three Democratic members of the committee to scuttle the proposal. Minority Democrats staged the longest filibuster in state Senate history in March before the bill was advanced by that GOP-dominated chamber by a vote of 23-7. If it had passed both houses of the Missouri legislature, the measure would have gone on the ballot for a popular vote.
And finally, in the capital of Mormon-majority Utah, The Salt Lake City Council voted unanimously on April 20th to rename a downtown street for gay martyr Harvey Milk. In 1977, Milk became the first openly gay person ever elected to public office in California. He'd only been a San Francisco supervisor for 11 months when he was brutally murdered by former supervisor Dan White. A stretch of 900 South in Salt Lake City is now officially Harvey Milk Boulevard. The global headquarters of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is just a few miles down the road. The LGBT rights group Equality Utah, which lobbied the council for the name change, has launched a campaign to raise the $7,000 to $9,000 that'll be needed for the new Harvey Milk Boulevard street signs.
Every gay person must come out. You must tell your immediate family. You must tell your relatives. You must tell your friends, if indeed they are your friends. You must tell your neighbors. You must tell the people you work with. You must tell the people in the stores you shop in. And once you do, you will feel so much better.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 30th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
North Carolina, friendly mountain breezes, North Carolina, with its sandy beaches, wonderland of variety. Close to mountains, it's great to be right here in North Carolina. Love the pines around in North Carolina. Get your cares behind you, living is right in holiday bright, North Carolina.
Another week has gone by, and the hate pot continues to boil over in North Carolina. HB 2 bans local governments from protecting LGBT people from discrimination and requires transgender people to use public bathrooms, restrooms, or other sex-segregated facilities based on their birth gender rather than their gender identity. LGBT activists and their allies staged a civil disobedience action at the state capitol in Raleigh on April 26th to protest the law. Pacifica Radio's Gabriela Castellón reports.
Officers arrested 54 protesters who came to voice opposition to the law. Three dozen of them refused to leave the building after it was officially closed, and Capitol Police warned that they faced arrest.
If you do not leave right now, then you're going to be placed under arrest. I don't.
Whose house is it?
Opponents of the law have delivered 187,000 signatures demanding its repeal. Reverend William Barber referred to the law as Hate Bill 2 at the protest.
Hate Bill 2 is not a bathroom bill.
That's right.
It is not a bill to protect women and children from predators.
That's right.
It is a cynical attempt to pit supposedly Christian values against our family's best interests and our faith's highest morality.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, thousands of Christian conservatives and other supporters of the law known as House Bill 2 gathered to praise the mostly Republican lawmakers and Governor Pat McCrory for passing the restrictions last month in a special session.
U.S. President Barack Obama had to address his country's seeming obsession with bathrooms at a Q&A with a mostly student audience last week during his visit to the U.K.
I'm about to do something terrifying, which is I'm coming out to you as a non-binary person, which means that I don't fit within... I'm getting emotional. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Because... I come from I'm from a Pakistani Muslim background, which inevitably has cultural implications. And I know that in North Carolina recently, with the bathroom bill, people are being forced to obviously produce birth certificates to prove their gender in order to go to the toilet. In the UK, we don't recognize non-binary people under the Equality Act. So we literally have no rights. So if there was any discrimination, there's nothing we can do. And I really, really wish that yourself and David Cameron would take us seriously as transgender people, and perhaps you could elucidate as to what you can do to go beyond what has been accepted as the LGBTQ rights movement in including people who fit outside the social norms.
Well, look, I think that I'm incredibly proud of the steps it sounds like you've already taken to speak out about your own experience and then to try to create a social movement and change laws. It sounds to me like you're on the right track. I can't speak for David Cameron, although I will say that on LGBT issues, I think David's been ahead of the curve relative to a lot of other leaders around the world and even here in the UK. I can say from my perspective that we're taking a lot of serious steps to address these issues within the federal government. The challenge we've had is North Carolina, the law that comes up, for example. That's a state law, and because of our system of government, I can't overturn on my own state laws unless a federal law is passed that prohibits states from doing these things. And with the Congress I currently have, that's not likely to happen. But we're doing a lot of work administratively. And as I said, you should feel encouraged just by virtue of the fact that I think social attitudes on this issue have changed faster than I've seen on any other issue. It doesn't feel fast enough for you or for those who are impacted, and that's good. You shouldn't feel satisfied. You should keep pushing. But I think the trend lines are good on this. We're moving in the right direction, and in part because of courageous and active young people like yourself. So stick with it.
That was President Barack Obama in the UK with some words of encouragement for Pakistani trans woman Maura Munir.
Step to the left, now step to the right. Put your knees together and squeeze them tight. Keep your arms moving side to side. Try to hold it in till it's time to ride. Knock, knock, let me in, knock, knock, let me in, I gotta go, knock, knock, let me in, knock, knock, let me in, I gotta go.
Not surprisingly, both Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have called for the repeal of HB2. Republican presidential wannabe Donald Trump seemed to flip-flop on the issue during the week, while rival Ted Cruz milked it for all it was worth.
Mr. Trump, please be specific. Tell us your views on LGBT, how you plan to be inclusive as president. Speak about North Carolina bathroom law in particular.
Oh, I had a feeling that question was going to come up. I will tell you. Well, look, North Carolina did something that was very strong, and they're paying a big price, and there's a lot of problems. And I heard one of the best answers I heard was from a commentator yesterday saying, leave it the way it is right now. There have been not very few problems. Leave it the way it is. North Carolina, what they're going through with all of the business that's leaving and all of the strife, and it's on both sides. You leave it the way it is. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble. And the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and the economic punishment that they're taking. So I would say that's probably
the best
way. Do you
have any transgender people in your organization?
I don't know.
No?
I really don't know. I probably do. I really don't know.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
Okay.
Different issue, also a social issue.
You know, there's a big move to create new bathrooms. Problem with that is for transgender. That would be first of all, I think that would be discriminatory in a certain way. It would be unbelievably expensive for businesses and for the country. Leave it the way it is.
This morning, Donald Trump went on the Today Show.
He was talking with Matt Lauer and palling around with his buddies in the media. Donald agreed with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in attacking the state of North Carolina for passing their bathroom ordinance. And Donald on television this morning said, gosh, he thought that men should be able to go into the girls' bathroom if they want to. Now, let me ask you, have we gone stark raving nuts? This is the political correctness. This is basic common sense. Let me ask you, are there any parents of daughters here? I'm the father of two little girls. Here is basic common sense. Grown adult men, strangers, should not be alone in a bathroom with little girls.
I think that local communities and states should make the decision, and I feel very strongly about that. The federal government should not be involved.
And let me point out, listen, every one of us has the right to live our lives as we wish. If any one of us wants to dress up as a woman or man, wants to live as a woman or man, believes that we might be something other than what we were born, you know, God has made each of us with free will and the ability to choose to do it. If a man wants to dress as a woman and live as a woman and to have a bathroom at home,
so then they shouldn't use the bathroom out in public?
Yeah. You don't have a right to intrude upon the rights of others, because whether or not a man believes he's a woman, there are a lot of women who would like to be able to use a public restroom in peace without having a man there and when their children involved.
Amen.
You don't have a right to impose your lifestyle on others.
Meanwhile, it became clear this week that the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, is not going to hold major athletic tournaments, such as the fabled basketball Final Four, in states like North Carolina if they discriminate against any student athlete or fan. NCAA Board of Governors Chair Kirk Schultz.
We need to make sure our student athletes are competing in venues and competing in states that have an inclusive environment for all of our student athletes, our fans, and our coaches. It's important for us to weigh in on these important issues and make sure that regardless of whether our student is a Division I, Division II, or Division III athlete, that their championship experience is among the best.
Ted Cruz kept pushing what rival Trump has dubbed his Lion Ted campaign in support of HB2 during a May 1st appearance on NBC's Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory inexplicably continued to defend the law during an interview with Megyn Kelly on Fox News.
Caitlyn Jenner actually took Trump up on his offer, and she went and used the bathroom in Trump Tower and then tweeted about it. And she said, by the way, Ted, referring to you, nobody got molested. What do you say to Caitlyn Jenner?
What I say is very simple. If you pass a law, as Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and Barack Obama want, that says any adult man can go into a girl's restroom if he feels like a woman at that minute, people who are predators use that law as an excuse to go target our kids. And that is a real dangerous. I've spent a lot of years in law enforcement dealing with cases of some of the very worst child molesters, people who do horrible things to kids.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble. I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through. Cause you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
I can't believe we're talking about this. This is not an issue that I started. This is an issue that the left started, not the right.
Specifically, what was the evidence that led you to believe this was a problem?
It wasn't. It was a respect for privacy. It was an expectation of privacy that individuals have, especially our youth have, when they go into a locker room, a shower, or a restroom. And it's not just women's bathroom, it's boys' bathrooms. And in fact, the Obama administration now is putting requirements on state, on federal money given to states that they also have to have this gender identification requirement for our schools. And what we ought to do is for those people who have these unique gender identification issues, which I empathize with, mm-hmm. we ought to allow the schools to make special arrangements for those people.
Oh my.
Late night talk show hosts are, of course, still enjoying a field day with North Carolina's HB2. On NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers, the former Saturday Night Live Weekend Update anchor proposed a new TV crime drama spinoff, and Stephen Colbert on CBS's The Late Show made it personal.
There are any number of problems with these laws, and aside from the fact they're hateful and discriminatory, they're also unenforceable. When asked how they would enforce the North Carolina law, a spokesperson for one local police department said, "So that means people have to go to the bathroom with birth certificates? Yeah, that was curious to me." And another said, "We don't have police officers sitting at public bathrooms all day long. But it'd be cool if you did, because then there could be a new Dick Wolf spinoff, Law & Order, Someone's In Here."
If you've been following the news, you know that there are a lot of new laws out there. Like one down in North Carolina, which are regulating which bathrooms transgender people are allowed to use. And I mean, this is huge news. Even the candidates are talking about it. And now a protest group has collected 750,000 pledges to boycott the store Target over their policy of welcoming transgender people to use whichever bathroom matches their personal identity. Well, here's where I stand. I know you want to know where I stand on this one. Here's the thing. I don't care if you're male or female, what sex or gender identity someone is. I, and I mean this sincerely, do not want to share a bathroom with anyone. Okay? For two reasons. Number one, and number two. And to all those lawmakers out there who are so obsessed with who's using what bathroom and what plumbing they got downtown, newsflash, you're the weirdos.
And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
The beat goes on.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, John Dyer V and Wenzel Jones contributed program material with thanks to Gabriella Castellone and the Pacifica Evening News, and as always, to Steve Pride. Teen Titans' Randy Newman and Sonny and Cher performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Prentum, our contributing affiliate stations, with special thanks this week to the staff and volunteers at WMPG in Portland, Maine, and to you, our listener supporters, for making this program possible. You'll find more information about the show, the crew, a video teaser for our must-have LGBT history from Outlaws to In-Laws CD, and more at thiswayout.org. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WEFT Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, 3UGE Alexandra, Victoria, KDVS Davis, California, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.